approve the reading on that part of the fourth. And tonight I've asked Don to share on it.
I'm Don, an alcoholic. And, talking with Eric before the meeting started, thinking back, I told him that, there's another thing, but when we started this meeting about 38 years ago, there was half a dozen of us, Mr. Coffee and six big books. Everyone brought their own, and we got other ones that we picked up along the way. In case any newcomers wanted the big book, we give them a big book and they could walk out with it. So I look back now and see a room full of people. That takes me back a little bit. I think the question when it came to this part of the fourth, and just for the folks, you folks that don't know me are familiar, when I did this, there were no big book meetings around. They had big book meetings, but no big book step meetings. I had a sponsor, and a great guy showed me how to stay away from a drink and a drug a day at a time. And he had gone through the steps in his own way, not the way we do it here. So there was people that had gone through the steps out of the book weren't vocal about it like we are today. It was kind of a code. They would say to you, it's in chapter 5. And that was, and I remember saying to the fellow before, well, I read chapter 5. And he said, well, you don't read it, you do it. And needless to say, I didn't do it till I heard some more. But when I got to this part, the question I asked myself, why did I get into this? And remember, I didn't have anyone to bounce anything off of. And the driving force for me to get involved in the sex part of this fourth step was I didn't want to be alone. I was 35. Sober 2.5 years in AA, had a couple of AA relationships. That didn't end well. My surprise, right? And that had been the story of all my relationships, drinking or in sobriety. They didn't end well. And here I am, 34, going on 35, never been married. Like I say, I had girlfriends, I'd live with them, but I never married them. It was always like a beginning date and an ending date. So now I'm 2.5 years sober and doing 10, 11 meetings a week. And I just didn't want to keep living the way I was living. I was ready to, I didn't think of suicide, but it was a case of when I got down on my knees to thank my higher power at night, it was like sometimes I felt like saying, well, if I don't wake up in the morning, that's going to be all right too. You know, and I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous to be miserable. So by the time, like I say, I got here, I didn't want to be alone. I wanted someone in my life, and I didn't want to treat them the way I had treated other women that I had been involved with in the past. By the time I got here, I had already done my turnarounds in the resentment part of this. So I knew the type of guy I was, and I didn't like it. I truly didn't want to live the way that I was living. And I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to share someone with in my life. In other words, not just being with you, being with one person, and always looking, is there someone coming in right around the corner? I don't want to get too involved with you because there's going to be someone else coming that might be the perfect stranger, someone said, you know? And I'm sure I'm not alone to have that feeling. Well, there was a part of me, like I say, I wanted more out of life. And one of the things that I found here One of the things that just rang real true to me was, and these cult, the people who put this together, they're pretty sharp. They knew us. They weren't interested in what kind of sex I had. They weren't interested who I had it with, how often I had it. They could care less. That was not important to them. They knew that in order for me to get right and have the type of sexual relationship that I wanted, it had really very little to do with the type of sex that I was involved with. I hear people talking about, Jesus, you know, you think all they were doing was getting laid. But, you know, over the years, I've had a chance to listen to a lot of Fifth Steps. And I see some people who were very active sexually, and then there were people that I've listened to that only were with one woman. The woman they married spent their whole life with them. Not their whole life, but a good portion of it. But having done this step, they both reached the same conclusion. They got what this step had to offer out of it, whether they were with many women or just with one. So how many women you were with or not with is not important. This is as Don sees it, right? You're taking that. But what I got out of it is, it's basically this saying, you know, we reviewed our conduct over the years past where we had been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate. Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? These are all things that I just never took into consideration. That was just the way I operated. And the women that I got involved with from time to time would be operating on the same plane, so I got my feelings hurt every now and then. You know that old thing, I didn't want anything to do with her anyway. See, let's have another beer. You know? But here's, I think, where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down in paper and looked at it. This is where the key was for me that opened up the door to get me out of the relationships that I had been in. I didn't want any more of them. I did the simple things that they did here. I had the woman's name that I had been with. And like I say, by the time I got here, I'd already done the turnaround, so I'd known where I was selfish and dishonest with them and how I'd used them and things. I put their names, and then I would write a little thing where I'd been selfish, and I would write it down, 8 words or under. Not every time I was selfish, where I'd been dishonest. Again, I would use an example of it. Simple things. I was going to school here up on the GI Bill, up at the community college. And the girl I was going out with, actually, I get sober in March, she gets sober in June. So something happens. I told her, you stick with me, you'll be farting through silk. She married a doctor up in Brookline. But you know, the way I would cause a little jealousy and suspicion. We always met like and have lunch down in the cafeteria. And this woman come up and wanted to borrow my notes. She'd cut the class and, gee, she was good looking. And I just kept her talking to me for about 5 minutes. And my girlfriend is just watching everything. She's about 20 feet away sitting at a table. The girl I was talking to, she could give a hoot about me. She was interested in my notes. We're talking about the Red Sox, the weather, all BS. You know, again, I did it to get the other one spinning, just to keep her, be careful, because there's others that are waiting, so. And by doing this, I was doing it all because I was afraid of losing her. And this form of manipulation was all based on fear. And other time, I used to have a little Volkswagen. She had been always after me to quit smoking, which I did. But I'd given a buddy of mine a ride while she was at class, and I went back to pick her up at the end of the day, and he'd been smoking in the car, and there's a couple of Marlboro butts in the ashtray. And I pick her up, and she smells, and she looks, and she says, you smoke? And I said, no. She said, well, whose are these? And I, instead of saying, oh, they're Bob's, I said, I gave Bob a ride home. Just that little zinger of be careful. And it was all, like I say, it was all based on fear, all manipulation, just to keep her on her toes. And what's really good is I found out how good that works when she started doing it to me. Remember, she was an alky who got sober 3 months after me. And so I realized there's a certain karma thing, the price I paid. But what happened was I did what was here, and it said, you know, we ask God to mold our ideals, and I didn't know what to, you know, how am I going to, am I just going to make a list, like a shopping list? I'd like this, I'd like this, I'd like this. And so the thought came to me to write a Dear God letter. I was like, I'm talking to God. This is kind of the person I would like to have in my future relationship. So that's where I came up with that idea. I did basically that, Dear God. In fact, I meant to bring it. I found it. I threw away my fourth step, but I tore that Dear God letter out of it, and I have it in the big book that I have at home. Like Billy was by the house, I meant to show it to you today. But, you know, and basically what I did is I just listed the things that I wanted to have in a partner. And one of the things that came out was I wanted someone that I could be honest with, someone that I didn't have to, I would have the courage to be honest with. I didn't want to do things out of fear. I didn't want to manipulate her. And I remember writing someone that I could grow spiritually with. And why I wrote that, I really don't, now I know, but at the time I was not a, I was going into new areas. I had a faith in, you know, one of those, I knew God could keep me away from a drink and a drug. You've been doing it for 2.5 years. And my belief, and I asked him when I was writing my fourth, let me write this the way you want it. And my belief on that was, if you can keep me sober and clean for 2.5 years, you can show me how you write, want this fourth step written in this part here. So things came to me. And after I finished this, I went on to have a couple of more relationships before I met my wife. And was it a clean slate? No. But instead of causing manipulation, instead of causing jealousy and bitterness and suspicion 10 out of 10 times, it would go maybe 7 out of 10 times, then 4 out of 10 times. Because what I found was there was a price to pay. If I was manipulating and lying, then there was a price to pay, and I didn't want to pay the price. Eventually, God brought someone into my life to this day, and we had 2 children, daughter 29, son 26. Christ, I was 48 when he was born. Figure that one out. Kept me young. But, you know, my wife and I, we divorced after 32 years. We just went our separate ways. And she's my best friend. And she's my best friend today. You know, we did a lot of great things. Cross country a couple of times. She hadn't ridden a motorcycle. She learned how to ride. And bought herself a Harley. So we've been back and forth a couple of times. And we did a lot of great things. A lot of great things. I sound like Trump. We did a lot of things. We did a lot of things that I used to sit in a bar stool and talk about. But because of this program, not picking up one drink, one drug for one day, we were able to ship the bikes out to the West Coast and ride them back and put 5,000 miles a trip on, go up through Canada, go to Sturgis a couple of times, all because we didn't pick up one drink, one drug for one day. And I think back now that what I asked for in that letter to God came true for me. You know, a day at a time, it came true. But it's still the same. One of the things I truly believe, and I've been around a while, and I've seen it happen in other people's lives, and I know it can happen to me, that I'm one drink away. But if my conduct continues to harm others, if I continue to use people, I'm sure to drink. That's a sucker's bet if anyone takes that, thinks they can pull that shit and not pick up a drink. That is a sucker's bet. And I don't want to lose out on that. And I'm one drink away, just like all of us here, you know? But I tell you, in closing, all right, if I hadn't done what I've done here today, if I wouldn't have had the life that I've had for the last, well, I've been sober 41 years, so the last 38 years that I've had, and here's the nice part in closing. My sponsor told me this. I was sober 3 months, and he was getting his 25th anniversary. And I went up to him, and people were glad, shaking his hand and stuff. And kind of things slowed. I waited, they slowed down. He had a little one up. And he got my attention. He looks at me and he says, "It keeps getting better." So here I am, 41 years later, folks. And I'm here to tell you, it keeps getting better. A day at a time, I don't pick up the first one. Thank you.